This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Arushin Kanesan and Wang Xiaoning. It is 7:37 a.m. Thursday, 3rd of December, which means that in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill, where I'll be speaking with Eldar Shafir, behavioral scientist over at Princeton University. Because do we fully understand what it takes to lift groups of people out of poverty? I mean, what if poverty or simply being in some kind of an environment of scarcity makes it difficult for someone to change their situation? Eldar Shafir was a former member of President Barack Obama's Financial Advisory Council. He's going to be speaking to us on how people's environments affect their decisions and financial outcomes. That's happening later on after the 8 o'clock news.
Well, right now we're taking a look at Ethiopia, as tensions are still running high between the Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed's forces and the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front. The TPLF was once a dominant political party within the country until they were sidelined when the Prime Minister came to power in 2018.
The TPLF's leader has called on the Prime Minister to stop the madness and withdraw troops from the province of Tigray in Ethiopia's north. He asserted that fighting still continues 2 days after Abiy declared a victory, claiming that government forces had captured Mekele, the Tigrayan capital. Debretsion Gebremichael also accused the Ethiopian forces of carrying out a genocidal campaign against the Tigrayan people.
Yeah, the Tigray region is still cut off a month after the fighting began. Information out of the area is scarce. Nearly 1 million people are believed to have been displaced, including around 44,000 people who have fled into Sudan. The big question here is, will Ethiopia survive this unrest intact, or is it the beginning of a longer civil war?
So to give us more insight, this morning we're speaking with Samuel Mackinder, Professor of International Relations and Security Studies at Murdoch University. Professor, thanks for joining us. So first, give us some context to this. What is the history behind the conflict between the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front and Abiy Ahmed's government?
I'll be brief here. The government in Addis Ababa is headed by Abiy Ahmed, who took over in 2018. He took over and started cleaning up. The TPLF had been in power for over 20 years, having taken over since they overthrew Mengistu Haile Mariam in 1991. The TPLF was part of a group that was called EPDRF, Ethiopian People's Democratic Revolutionary Party, or whatever it was. These are people who were trained by the communist regime in Albania during the Cold War. Some of the TPLF stalwarts, they clung to the idea of controlling the state the way the communist powers did. So that up to 3 or 4 years ago, freedom of press or freedom of expression was not permitted. So these were dictators. They don't like Abiy Ahmed. And because Abiy Ahmed decided to normalize relations with Eritrea, which had been at loggerheads with Ethiopia since the mid-1990s. TPLF didn't like that. Some of them moved out of the government and have been creating a lot of problems for the government. Now, I'm not suggesting that Abiy Ahmed is an angel, but in this situation, I would say that the situation has been worsened by the fact that the TPLF and the government could not reach an agreement on anything.
The government says it has captured Tigray's capital city of Mekele, but the TPLF appear to be refusing to back down. Will the fighting continue?
Oh, yes. The fighting is likely to continue for quite some time, because what the TPLF is trying to do is to widen the conflict so that it's not just an internal Ethiopian affair. They would like it to be a regional or international problem. That's why the TPLF have been attacking Eritrea to try to bring it into the war. And they are pushing some of their own people into Sudan. Because of that, and the fact that they have stolen weapons from the military barracks that they attacked on November 3rd and November 4th, they are likely to continue fighting. They would like foreign countries to be involved, because the involvement of foreigners tends to put them on a par with the government. The problem is an Ethiopian internal problem. Now, the TPLF, they are not likely to give up until either IGAD, that is the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, which is a regional organization, or the African Union, or perhaps other parties are involved.
Now, a key figure in this crisis is Ethiopia's Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed, who also won the Nobel Prize last year for brokering peace with Eritrea. But as a leader, I mean, give us a picture of what he's actually like.
I would say that the Nobel Prize was too early, because what he was doing in normalizing relations with Eritrea, it was a good thing, but the way he did it meant that there was going to be a war. Anybody who analyzed Ethiopia at the time could tell that he's bringing an end to one conflict, but at the same time creating another. He was a soldier himself, but circumstances propelled him into power. In the beginning, he relaxed some of the restrictions, so people started enjoying the freedoms that they had wanted for a long time. Now, here's a situation where somebody has been given a Nobel Prize in 1 year, and the following year is being accused of war crimes. Some of the stories we have been told about what he has done in Tigray are not likely to be correct. I'm not saying they are wrong, because there has been a restriction on the flow of information from Ethiopia, so it's very hard to tell what it is.
Now, not so long ago, Ethiopia was viewed as a model of economic progress in the African continent. But with what has occurred in this month, is it possible that we may see the country break apart along ethnic lines here?
I would not be surprised if Ethiopia fell apart. But what TPLF is doing is to try to fight for what they call the independence of Tigray. Now, if they manage to cut Tigray off from Ethiopia, I think the situation could be very different in the rest of Ethiopia, because Tigray has been a part of the Ethiopian polity for centuries. Some of the Ethiopian emperors were Tigrayans, others were Shoans. So Tigray has been at the center of the Ethiopian entity for over two centuries. Now, if they broke up away, I think the repercussions could be dire for the rest of the country. Abiy Ahmed happens to come from the biggest group, the Oromo. Oromo is the biggest ethnic group in Ethiopia and contributes about 50% of the population. But they are also divided. They are divided among themselves. Even Abiy Ahmed is not able to control certain elements within his own Oromo community. Then we have the Somalis, and we have the Afar, and other groups, and the Shoans. So if one part, like Tigray, which has been a part of Ethiopian entity for over two centuries, if that part fell away, I would say the repercussions could be quite dire for the future of Ethiopia.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Professor. That was Professor Samuel Makinda, Professor of International Relations and Security Studies at Murdoch University, talking to us about the Ethiopian crisis, which could have wider repercussions as well for the rest of the region, because Ethiopia is one of the linchpins of the Horn of Africa, which is a major source of international trade. It's one of the major routes that a lot of shipping trade passes through. Shanning, what were some of your takeaways as well from the conversation with Professor Makinda?
Well, I think it's rather sad that actually Ethiopia is facing probably what is going to be likely their second civil war after a very long one in the 1980s. Remember, they also had this humanitarian crisis where there was immense starvation and up to 1 million people died. So, if you think about it, why are we talking about Ethiopia this morning? It's actually because it's, like you say, it's the linchpin of that part of Africa. And if there's civil unrest in that zone, it might spread to Eritrea and also might spread to Sudan. And that would also then bring down the whole concept of Ethiopia being this, you know, like a mini African tiger economy.
Yeah, and this is one of the most fragile regions as well on the African continent. I mean, South Sudan and Sudan just came out of a civil war at the start of this year, so there's really no room for another conflict to come up in this region. But right now, we're about to head into some messages. We'll be watching this closely. And up next, we're speaking with Gerald Joseph, Commissioner at Suhakam, on the Suhakam Human Rights Report and why Parliament isn't debating it. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.